Okay, the boy side. Today's daf is daf Ayin Zayin, and we're holding five lines from the bottom of Ayin Vav Amid Beis, and we're going to enter now into a very, very intricate and fascinating piece of Agadita. It's very, very esoteric and Kabbalistic in nature. We'll do the best we can to go through the simple taich, the simple meaning of the words, but there's much, much more in this Gemara than... let's just say, like one of our former presidents used to say, it's above my pay grade. We just go through the words and we'll do the best we can. The Gemara is quoting Vani Basi B'dvarecha from an earlier discussion that we had. So if you go a little bit higher up on Ayin Vav Amid Beis, about halfway down the Amud, the Gemara asks the Sicha Minolan, right from the beginning of the line, halfway down, how do we know among the Inuyim, one of them is Sicha, that you're not allowed to go and smear yourself with oil or cream on Yom Tif, not on Yom Tif, on Yom Kippur? How do we know that that's called the Inisa Misnafshi Seichem, or Ta'anu Misnafshi Seichem? How do we know that that's one of the Inuyim? So the Gemara quoted a pasuk in Daniel, where Daniel said, Lechem Chamudis Leachalti, Vosu Bayayin Leboelpi, Vesoich Loisachti. I didn't smear myself because of the terrible besura that Daniel had received, that Koresh had decided not to allow for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So he did the equivalent of a fast day. In fact, not only one fast day, but the pasuk continued on for 3 weeks straight. He didn't eat lechem chamudos, basar v'yayin. He didn't do any shmirim, seichli sachti. And then skipping to the next pasuk, which is about 4 or 5 lines further down, Vayomer Eli is referring to Gavriel HaMalach. Gavriel said to Daniel, Al tira Daniel, you don't have to be afraid. Kimin hayom kinayom narishon shenasatas libcha lahavin ulhis anois lefnei alikecha. From that first moment, from that first day that you decided that you had enough bina, enough understanding and seichel, lis anois, to go and fast. So we use the term inui lefnei alikecha. Nishmu dvarecha, your words were heard. And I have come in because Hashem has listened to your words, and therefore I have been allowed to re-enter. So what do I see from these two psukim? So for yesterday's purposes, we saw that the refraining from soch, the soich loisachti, from shmiring, that's considered to be part of li'ishanois, part of li'inois. But the Gemara is not focusing on that now. The Gemara is focusing on that, those last three words. That Gavriel HaMalach is telling Daniel, Vani Bosi Bidvarecha, I came in now as a result of your words. So now, we're on the first wide line down below, 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Feitimor, Mai Vani Bosi Bidvarecha. What does that mean? What the Gemara is asking is, that Bosi Bidvarecha sounds like that Gavriel, who previously had been within the Pargoid, within the Pargoid means within that Machitza where the Shechina is up in Shemayim, he, Gavriel, was one of those chosen Malachim to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it sounds like he was ejected from that Lefnim and HaPargoid, and now because of Daniel, he's re-entering, coming back into the Pargoid. See, Rashi 5-6 lines before the end of the Amud on the left hand side. That's the end of the pasuk that we quoted before, which began Al Tira Daniel, where Gabriel is speaking, and he says, because of you, Daniel, they're allowing me to return back. Again, the Pargoid is a Kabbalistic term which is used in these connections to identify a machitza, a fence, a wall, which is around HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochel, up in Shemayim, and only if you're very close to Hashem do you have a right to go lefnim in HaPargoid. And Gavriel previously had been among those chosen few malachim, but for some reason he fell out of favor, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, and then he was reinstated that he was able to return. So, with that background, says Imar, what does that mean? Heidel Dechsev, it says in the Pasuk. Now we're quoting Psukim from Yecheskel. Yecheskel at this time is sitting in Bavel. and he's being told in a vision, a prophetic vision of Nevuah, about what's going on in Yerushalayim. And as we'll see, terrible things are going on in Yerushalayim. The Chassidim says in the Pasuk, V'shivim ish mizik nebeis Yisrael. There were 70 Zekenim, V'yazniyo ben Shofan oimid b'soicham, and Yazniyo was standing among them, oimdim lefneyem, standing in front of them, V'ish maktar tebiyoveh, each one of them is holding in his hands a makteris. Makteris is the equivalent, like we saw by Koirach v'adosoi, each one was holding a machvas, a fire pan, and on that fire pan they had already put on the ketores, so therefore the incense is already rising, like the pasuk says, v'asar anan haketores oile, the thickness of the cloud of incense is ole, is rising. And as we'll see in a moment, unfortunately this incense was not being brought to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it was being brought in front of an Avodah Zarah, as we'll see momentarily. And where was this Avodah Zarah? The Avodah Zarah was inside the Beis HaMikdash, and one of the five reasons why we fast today in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is because He'emid Tzelem Behechel, and unfortunately there were idols, Rachmon Litzlon, in the Beis HaMikdash. And the pasuk continues on, V'yishlach Tavnes Yad, says Yecheskel, the form of a hand, a heavenly hand, came down, V'yikucheni B'titzis Roshi, pulled me up by my payas, Latisa Oisi, and Shlepmi carried me, Ruach, the wind, ben Oretz ben Hashemayim, between heaven and earth, Vatovi Oisi Yerushalayim, and brought me all the way to Yerushalayim. But this didn't really happen, this is all B'maris Lekim. This was in a vision of Hashem, a prophetic vision. And where was Yecheskel taken in this prophetic vision? Al Pesach Shar HaPnimius, to the opening of the inside gate, Apoyna Tzafoyna, which turns towards the northern side, Asher Shom, where there, unfortunately, in the Beis HaMikdash was Moishav. They were standing there, sitting there, Semel HaKino HaMakne. Semel HaKino HaMakne means an idol that is causing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to become very upset. As you know, the Torah refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu whenever it talks about Avodah Zarah, Shekel Kamehu. Kadosh Baruch Hu becomes very zealous, very vengeful that they brought in an idol, Rachmon Litzlon, inside the Beis HaMikdash. But unfortunately, we're not done. And now, the next pasuk that we're going to read with the explanation of the Gemara, if we didn't have this Gemara, we wouldn't believe that this was possible. But unfortunately, it was. And we continue pasuk in Yecheskel, Vayovei Oisi, and again in this prophetic vision, they were bringing him into El Chatzar Beis Hashem HaPnimis, in the inner Chotzer, V'inei Pesach Heichal Hashem Bein Ulam Ubein HaMizbeach, Ki Esrim V'Chamisha Ish. 25 people are standing there Bein Ulam V'LaMizbeach. We've had so many references to Ulam V'LaMizbeach earlier on in our Masechta. We were talking about the Kohen Gadol standing between the Ulam V'LaMizbeach for purposes of first the vidui on the par and the shechting of the par and the shechting of the soyer and then taking the blood up the steps into the heichal. But instead, what were 25 people doing there standing between the ulam v'lamizbeach? Achoireyem, their backs were el heichal Hashem, were facing the heichal. Heichal is, of course, the room, the chamber right before you get into the Kodesh Kodoshim. Ufneim, and their faces were in the other direction, Keima, were towards the east, which of course makes sense, because you're coming from the east as you're entering into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going further and further westward as you go towards the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodoshim. So since their backs are towards the Heichal, which is towards the west, so their fronts, their faces are towards the east. The Heima, now our Gemara has a girsa of Mishtachadim, but that's really inaccurate. The actual pasuk says mishtachavisa, which is a very, very unusual term, and it's really a contraction of two words together. It symbolizes, number one, hishtachava, which means to bow down, to prostrate yourself, and it also comes from a lashon of hashchosa, when people are acting in a very destructive manner. Behayim mishtachavisa, and they are doing this double bowing down, prostrating, as well as being destructive, towards the east, towards the Shemesh, towards the sun. So therefore, not only are they worshipping the idol in the Beis HaMikdash, but they're also, unfortunately, sun worshippers. And the Pasuk continues on, or the Gemara continues on, Mimashva Shenema. Why did the Pasuk have to tell us, Ufneim Keidma, Ein Yodea Shechareim El Heichal Hashem? In other words, when we're talking about where a person is standing, we say that he is facing the east and his back is to the west. Now, isn't that a double poshet? Of course, if his face is to the east, his back is to the west. Or vice versa. If his back is towards the west, his face is to the east. So the Pasuk would seem to be redundant and repetitive. Why does it have to tell us that? Why is it telling us that? It comes to tell you that they went and pulled their pants down. I don't know if they wore pants in those days, but that gives you the idea. They picked their toga up, whichever way you want to look at it. And they started defecating. The Gemara says klapi mata, it really means klapi mala, means against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, they're doing the worst type of hashchasa, the worst type of destructive type of action to show their total disdain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kaviyachol. And the Gemara uses the term mata as a euphemistic term. We don't want to say klapi mala, but unfortunately that was the story. Kodesh Baruch of course was very incensed. Again, all of this is being brought in Yecheskel as part of the Nevuah. But Amalei Kodesh Baruch Hu Michal. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Michal HaMalach. Michal was considered generally to be the Malach of Klal Yisrael, the Tsar of Klal Yisrael, and Gavriel was one of his helpers, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Michal, Michal, Sorcha Umascha, your nation has Sorcha, has acted in a very, very destructive manner. They're Nebuch, they're all corrupt. Nebuch, they're all bad. From Russian, Sirchain. Sirchain means, of course, a terrible stench. So your nation, unfortunately, has sinned very, very, very badly. And therefore, I intend, Chas V'Sholem, take action against them. Michal immediately defended the Jewish people. Okay, we got 25 bad apples. These people that are standing here between the Heichel and the Ulam Lamizbeach, okay, these guys are really bad. But what about all those good Jews? I intend going and destroying Rachman Litzlon Klal Yisrael, burning them all the Eden, the good ones and the bad ones. Viad. So immediately, Vayoymer, and he said, we take out the word Li'ish, it's really Elho Ish, Lovush Habadim. Who is the Elohish Lovish Abadim? If you look at the top Rashi says that when you ever see the words Lovish Abadim in Sefer Daniel, it's referring to Gavriel. So either this Vayom is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or it's referring to Michael, and he's telling now Gavriel, Vayomer, boy el binois legalgal, el tachas lekruv. What I want you to do is go in between the galgal, underneath the kruv. Both the name Galgal, the word Galgal, as well as the word Kruv, are referring to different types of Malachim, angels up in heaven, and they are part of the Maisa Merkava, the heavenly chariot of the Rabbeinu Shlom. Once again, I have no understanding of any of this, but this is what it says in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, that they went to Gavriel, and they told him, Boy Albinois the Galgal, go in between the Galgal, presumably one or more malachim that have the title Galgal, El Tachas the Kruv, underneath the Kruv, again Kruv is referring to a malach, Umaloi Chafanecha, and fill up your hands, Gachlei Eish. This reminds us, of course, of the Chafina of the Ketoiris that we do, or that the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur, Lefnai V'Lefnim, but here we're not filling the Chafnayim with Ketoiris, with incense, we're filling them with Gachlei Eish, with fiery coals. Take those coals, fill them up, mi beinois lakruvim, from in between the kruvim, from in between these malachim. Take them in your hands, uzroik al ir, and now go and throw all of these coals on the fire, on the city of Yerushalayim, to chas v'sholem, destroy Yerushalayim, and to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Vayovoi le'enoi, and he came to me, to my eyes. Meaning that Gavriel approached based on his calling, and he said, Gavriel, come here. And Gavriel came. Mayit miyad. Immediately thereafter, which they bite in the pasuk. Vayishlach hakruvas yodoi mi beinois lakruvim. The kruv, one of the malachim, went and stretched out its hand, went between the kruvim, between the other malachim, El eish asher beinoy sakruvim, the fire that was there burning between these malachim, vayitain el chofnei levush abadim. And he took them and he filled up now the two hands of levush abadim. Again, that's referring to Gavriel. Vayikach, and he took those gecholim vayitze and he left. Now, before we continue the next Gemara, notice Michoel, or Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yecheskel, had said to Gavriel, go and take out these gecholim and fill up your hands. And it doesn't say that he stuck out his hands to go and take the gecholim, but rather one of the malachim took those fiery coals and delivered it and put it into the hands of Gavriel. And the Gemara is going to tell us that this was both a very positive act and a negative act. Positive in the sense that as a result of the changing of the hands, from the hands of the Malach to the hands of Gavriel, Baruch Hashem, the coals were able to cool off a little bit as a result. And as a result, Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael was not totally burned and destroyed, because the coals were already not as fiery as they were originally. It's like the concept on Shabbos, instead of being a Kli Rishon, it was already Kli Sheni, that it went from the Malach's hands into the hands of Gavriel. So that's the good aspect. The bad aspect is that Gavriel is considered to be a sinner, because after all, the Nevuah was, Gavriel, you take it in your hands yourself. The fact that he let a shliach, the kruv, take it on his behalf and hand it over to him, that was considered to be a sin. As the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Il molei le nitztanenu gecholim miyodi shel kruv liyodi shel Gavriel. If it wasn't for the fact that the gecholim had a chance to cool off when they were being handed over, first mibein hakruvim to the initial kruv, and then from the kruv to the hands of Gavriel HaMalach, if it wasn't for lo nitztanenu, if it wasn't for the fact that they had a chance to cool off, lo nishtayru misoinei shel Yisrael, soridu pol lichas v'sholom, there would not be one yid left in Klal Yisrael. Although the Gemara uses the expression soinei shel Yisrael, as you know, that's always a euphemistic term in Lashon Saginor, because the Gemara never wants to say chas v'sholom the terrible words lo nishtayru Yisrael. So we say l'nishtayru misoinei shel Yisrael, but we really mean Klal Yisrael. There would not have remained even a sword opponent, even one refugee, even one remaining individual, garnished, nothing. So Baruch Hashem, there was this transfer of the fire from the kruv to Gavriel. Uksiv, it's right in the pasuk. V'neo ish lovish abadim. Again, we're referring to Gavriel. Asher hakesis v'maslev, he's carrying a slate on his waist, on his loins. Meishim dovaleimar. And now, after he, Gavriel, took all of the gecholim in his hands, we didn't see it in the Gemara, presumably it says in the Psukim, that after that he went and he threw it and scattered it over Yerushalayim, and he said, Osisi kasher tzvisani, I completed my shlichus, that I went and scattered all the coals over Yerushalayim. Is Omer Rabbi Yochanan, B'Oisisho, at that time, Mitzil Gavriel me'achori ha'pargod, they took Gavriel and they sent him out from being within the Pargod, and now they threw him out of the Pargod. In other words, he was ejected from being close to Kodesh Baruch Hu in that Kabbalistic Pargod upstairs up in Shemayim. And not only that, Umachyuhu and Matimgim Pech, they patched him Shitin Pulsi Denura with 60 Pulsi. What's my Pulsi? So the top Rashi says it means Makloi Shalur. Fiery, fiery rods, fiery poles. They went and gave 60 kleb to Gavriel. Whenever you see 60, typically that's an exaggerated term, but nevertheless, if it's not 60, so it's 59 or 58, but he got a lot of fiery pech. What's the reason why he got pech? After all, he did what he was supposed to. He got the chofnei yodov, he filled up his hands with the coals, and he spread them out over Yerushalayim. So says the Gemara, Omrulei, they told him to Gavriel, Ilei avdis, loy avdis. If you would not have done this at all, in other words, had you not done your shlichus, your mission, okay, you didn't do it. I avdis, amai loy avdis kibkaducha. But now that you did it, why didn't you do it the way you were asked to do it? Now, what does it mean, ilei avdis, loy avdis? If you didn't do it, you didn't do it. If you didn't do it, that's bad. What is this saying? You know, if you wouldn't have done it, okay, you know, she didn't do it. So explains Rashi. What the Gemara means to say is that perhaps you felt that Kodesh Baruch Hu is kaviyochel in a terrible rage of anger against Klal Yisrael because of the idol inside the Beis Hamikdash, in terms of all of these people Nebuch defecating to the Heichel Hashem, Nebuch, they're serving the Shemesh, they're sending up incense to idols. All of this is terrible, terrible, terrible. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very, very upset, and therefore he's decreed destruction of Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Rachman Litzlah. But could be that you, Gavriel, felt that as Lahavdul Alfi Adolus HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu, just like people, initially a person is angry, but over a period of time, you know, he calls the cooler heads prevail. So maybe, Gavriel, your cheshbon was, you're not going to immediately go and grab those fiery gecholim. You figured you'd delay it a little bit. So had you delayed and not done your mission, we would have understood why you didn't do it, because you're hoping the Kodesh Baruch Hu will shove mecharoin apoy. If you look at the second and third lines of Rashi at the top, Ileyavdis klal, had you not taken the coals at all, Leyavdis. We would have defended you, and we would have said, Doichu is a double, he's trying to delay and push it off. Maybe Kodesh Baruch Hu will be shod mecharoin apoy, just like we learned today in Vayechal Moshe, that initially Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael because the Maisa Egel. And Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded and pleaded and begged and begged, and Kodesh Baruch Hu finally relented. So maybe, had you not done this at all, taking out the coals, we could have defended you and understood. We know the reason why he's doing that is because he wants delay. But Gemara says, but Iavdis, now that you actually did it, and you threw the coals over your shrine, and my Iavdis Kidapakducha, why didn't you do like you were told? Next Rashi, Kidapakducha, fourth line from the top, Shetei Ata Noital Gecholmi Beinis Lakruvim, that you should have taken it directly from between the Kruvim, between those angels, taken out the coals. Viato Marta Ela Kruv, Lasita Lach, and you told the Kruv. Actually, in the psukim that we quoted, it doesn't say anywhere that he told the Kruv to do it, but the Gemara assumes that that was the story, that he had asked one of the Kruv, hey, fella, hey, Kruv, can you do me a favor? Can you hand over some of those Gecholim to me and fill up my hands with the Gecholim? So therefore, that was the taina on Gavriel, and that's the reason why he was thrown out of the Pargod. And now we understand, we're not finished with the whole story yet, but now we understand why the answer, at least a partial answer to our original question. We started off today's blat, Mai vani basi bedvarecha, that I was sent back in Litocha Pargod. When was he thrown out? Oh, he was thrown out at this time when he didn't listen to the shlichas of burning Yerushalayim with the fiery coals. The oid, and another taina on him, on Gavriel, the avdis, now that you did your mission, lesloch, don't you remember, don't you know, a meshivim al hakalkola means that if you've been assigned to do a mission which is not a pleasant task, it's a task of destruction, like this case, then there's no inyan of going back and saying, Rabbi say, I got good news, I did what I was supposed to. If you're coming back and telling us a psura toiva agavaldiya simcha, then avada, come back and say, Rabbi Yisai, I did the simcha, is tremendous. But however, to come back and tell us that you destroyed something, destroyed Yerushalayim by throwing out the coals, the emishim and kakala, that's not the type of mission that you have to go back to the mishaleach and report, I got good news, I took care of my job. Anyway, because of the fact that Gavriel was expelled, in his place, I saw the Dubiel. They brought him Dubiel, who was Sora de Parsoi. He was the Tsar. He was the minister, the ministering angel up above of the Persians. And they put him in his place. In other words, he was the replacement for Gavriel Lifnei Hapargod. Vishimesh Esam Yechad Yamin. He was there for 21 days. And as a result of those 21 days of being Meshamish there upstairs in Shemayim Lifnei Hapargod, Hayim Lechsiv. As a result, the Pasuk says, the Tsar Malchus Paras, that's the Tsar of Paras, Dubiel, Oyimid Lenegdi, he's facing me, standing there facing me, as from the Echad Yom, 21 days, like we just said. Vine Michol, Echad Asorim Horishoyin, and Bolo Azreini, Michol, one of the Sorim came to help me, ואני נמסרתי שם אצל מלכי פורס, and I was standing there waiting there together with the מלכי פורס. Now who is this exactly referring to? This is referring to Vayter, either Daniel, where is the pasuk over here? Shom lechem, sar malach boros, om lenegdi, esu meyachad yoim, pasuk in Daniel. So Daniel is saying that this sar malchus poras was facing me. He was there for 21 days. V'ni michol, achar asorim horishoyim bol azrei, he came to help me. V'ni nosar tisham, eitzel malchi foros, and I was waiting there, staying there next to the malchi foros. Now, as a reward for serving these 21 days as a replacement for Gavriel, Dubiel received Yahavulei Esem Vichad Malki 21 kingdoms, in other words, 21 regions where they had independent kings, that they will allow the Persian king to take over those 21 regions. Uparvata Dimashik. The word Parvata means a port where ships sail from and sail to. The Mashik. Mashik is the name of a place. But Rashi says that Mashik in Persian also means Dvar Malchus. Dvar Malchus means that this wasn't just a simple port, this was a royal port, a port of royalty. And Rashi says that the reason it got such a fancy name, because Lefishu Malisham Margulios, because they used to go and apparently fish and extract pearls at that spot. So this was considered to be a very royal port, so this is a, how would we say in English, not only he got the cake, but the icing on the cake. Not only the 21 malachim, but also this real treat, the royal port of Mashik. Okay, but he wasn't satisfied. So Dubiel says, Omar, Ksivili the Yisrael. Yisrael that are still left among the nations, wherever they happen to be, I want you to go and write down as a royal decree that Klal Yisrael should have to pay the akarga, that they should have to go and pay head taxes to the Persian king. Kosvale. So they wrote it down. Ksivali said, not only the regular rank and file Jews, but I want the Rabbanon be akarga, that they should also have to go and pay me head tax. Kosvale. They wrote it down in the royal decree. Now, be'idna debo lemachzem. At the time that they wanted to sign these royal decrees so that it should become law, Omer Gavriel Mechoria Pargad. Gavriel, who, as you recall, was thrown out Mechoria Pargad, the Omer, he said, Shav lechem mashkimikum, me'achri sheves oichel lechem atovim, ken yitem ididoi shena. What does this pasuk mean? What Gavriel is saying is that all the Umas Ha'olam, they are going to go and work very, very hard. Mashkimikum, they get up early in the morning, me'achri sheves, and they go to sleep late at night. Why? Because they are certain, they're working very, very hard for their parnasa. Oichel lechem atovim, ultimately eat the bread of their labors, of their pains. However, Kenyitli Dido Shena Kodesh Baruch Hu says, that's you, the Goyim, because you don't have the Torah. However, Yidin, and particularly the Rabbanon, who are learning Torah, they are my Yedidim. Kenyitli Dido Shena. What does that mean? My Kenyitli Dido Shena, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Not only the Talmidei Chachamim, but even the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim deserve tremendous credit. That they, the wives of Talmidei Chacham, who are helping out the Talmidei Chacham, that Talmidei Chacham can learn the whole day, and the wives help them in every way, shape possible, including that they will stay up late at night until their husbands return from the kolel, from the Bis Medrash. They push aside sleeping in this world, and therefore zoichus la'olam haba, they'll get tremendous chus, tremendous char la'olam haba. And therefore what Gavriel is saying is, Persian kings, you can go and try to formulate whatever bad royal decrees that you want to, but all of you guys don't come close to the Rabbanon because of the tremendous chusim that not only they have, but even their wives have. And therefore, this is not going to happen. And they ignored Gavriel's quoting of this pasuk and saying, forget about it, these decrees are not going to materialize. If you put all the chacham of all the goyim in one side of the scales, the Daniel ish chamudes, Daniel that we've been talking about, on the other side of the scale, the kashnia, wouldn't you see that Daniel outweighs with his virtues, with his mitzvahs, all the chachmi umas ha'olam? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu was very impressed, and he said, Miu zeh shemlam etzchus al banai? Who is this fellow in behind the pargod? We don't see him, he's not no longer here inside the pargod. Who is this that is trying to push as much as possible to save and help out Klal Yisrael? Amar Lefanav, they said, Rabbeinu Shalom, Gavriel, this is Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Amar Lehem, if that's the case, Yavai, let him return back into the pargod. Shenemar, Vanibasi Bidvarecha, because I was talking about you, Daniel, and talking about your schusim, because of that I was allowed to come back in, lefnim min ha-parvay. And this is therefore the conclusion of that, what we started off with in discussion, that we asked, going back to the pasuk initially, v'yoyim me'elai al-tira Daniel, don't be afraid, Daniel, kim in ha-yom rishon shirsatz libcha lahavan ha-sadnes lefonai lefnei ha-vekecha, nishmu dvarecha, your tfilois, and your tanesim were answered. And I have been let back into the paragon because of you, Daniel. How do I see that? Because since he said Daniel ish chamudais outweighs all of the chachmi umas ha'olam, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, come on in, back into the paragon. So that's now the conclusion of that. But we're not finished with the story. Omalahu, so Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Leo, let him come in. Ailu, and they let him in. They let Gavriel in. Also, Ashkel to Dubiel, to Nokale the Igris Sibiove. Dubiel, who was his brief replacement for 21 days, was holding the Igeris. The Igeris, like we have the Igeris by the Igeris of Purim in Megillas Esther. This Igeris that had on it the bad decree that Klal Yisrael and even the Rabbanon are going to have to go and pay head tax to the Persians. So he, Gavriel, wanted to grab it away from Dubiel. So what did Dubiel do? Bala. He went and he swallowed it. Some say, they never got a chance to go and sign it, right? On the second line of the wide lines, we said, they wanted to go and sign it. But then Omer Gavriel, and then we had the rest of this story. So they never got a chance, they never got around to sign it. Ikriyami ought to say that af mechtem nami have a chosma. In fact, they did get a chance to sign it after all. However, Kidabole, when he, Dubiel, swallowed it, machik laminei, he was moichik, all of the terrible decrees were nimchak, were erased. Or at least the signature on the bottom, the chasima, was erased. It was not a chasima tova. As a result of this, that's why we find that in the Persian, the time when Persia was in its power, in its zenith, that some Yidden did have to pay the head tax, and said that some did not have to pay the head tax because the decree was written, but it wasn't signed, or it was signed, but it was deleted as a result, or it was erased as a result of the saliva, as a result of the swallowing. And therefore, that was the end of that part of the story. And then the Pasuk concludes, or the Gemara concludes, going off a little bit on a tangent, and it says in the Pasuk, Vani yoitze vine sari yovan ba. This is part of a prophecy, that after Persia will finally decline in its power, who's going to take over? The sari yovan is going to come over. And ove ove, so says Gavriel, oi, whoa, whoa, like, oi vai, oi vai. We cannot let Yovan take over after the Persians and take over Klal Yisrael and the world. But unfortunately, Gavriel was not successful in his plea at this time to save the world and save Klal Yisrael from Malchus Yovan. And as a result of Baisai, we've now concluded this fascinating, very esoteric, very Kabbalistic Gemara, all about Gavriel being ejected and finally being allowed re-entry into the Pargod.
Question?
Yes, even three.
Yeah, so first, could you again point out the pasuk where it says initially that Gavriel was expelled? Because we just talked about Yechezkel going over to the base of Migdash, but where is it saying that Gavriel was expelled initially?
It doesn't say expressly that he was expelled in the pasuk, but it does say that he was allowed re-entry. And that was the Gemara's Kasha, when was he expelled in the first place? So the pasuk that we began with, it's a little bit halfway down, a little bit past halfway down on Ayin Vav Amid Beis, towards the end of the line, it says, V'yoymer Eli, Al Tira Daniel. Who is speaking? This is a pasuk, not in Yecheskel, it's a pasuk in Daniel, where Gavriel is saying to Daniel, Daniel, don't be concerned. You're concerned about the fact that the Beis Hamikdash will not be rebuilt because Koresh has reneged on his promise to Ezra to allow the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt. Don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. From that first moment that you started being ma'ani yourself, that was the prior pasuk, that he didn't eat the fancy bread, he didn't eat the basar b'yayin, he didn't shmir himself. From that day, nishmu dvarecha, your words were listened to up in Shemayim, and vani, and I, Gavriel, who had been expelled, basar b'dvarecha, I have been reinstated back into lefnim min hapargod. How do I know that that's the pshat? Look at the second Rashi before the end, vani basar b'dvarecha, six lines. Sayyid the Hukradal El Altira Daniel, Vanibas Vidvarecha, Nechnasti Letoicha Pargad Bishvilcha. I was allowed to enter into the Pargad because of you. Praytimar my Vanibas, these are trashy. Masay Nigrish Mitoicha, when was he ejected? Shuhut Sakhli Khanas, that he now had to go and report the good news that he's back within the Pargad. Good? Anything else? We continue on.
What were the calls doing to Akhada Kruvin?
But Me'etz Hashem, when we'll be bezochet to understand these very, very difficult psukim in the Ma'aseh Merkava and in Yecheskel, we'll know what it means to have fiery coals underneath the.
No, nothing.
We're talking about Malachim. We're not talking about the Kruvim on top of the Kapoitis. We're talking about many, many miles up there in Shemayim, where the Rebbeinu Shlom Kaveh Yochel is sitting on his great chariot, that's the Ma'aseh Merkava that you have in the beginning of Yecheskel, and surrounding a Gwen Shalom, and underneath it you have all of these Malachim, and they have the fiery coats. Okay? Weiter. Back to Hilchos Yom Kippur. We're halfway down the middle of the wide lines down below. Zokimar Vibo Yaseima. We want to know what's the Makoir that Rechitza is Ikri Inui. So yesterday we concluded that Rechitza is Ikri Inui by the fact that in the pasuk that we quoted, pasuk of Daniel, it says v'soich loisachti. Soich loisachti means shmir, I didn't shmir. Why do we have to go and have such a duplicative type of lashon? So Rashi said it could have simply said v'loisachti, I didn't smear those 21 days with any type of oil, with any type of cream. Why does it say soich loisachti? So it comes to me marba, not only didn't I smear myself with any of the cream or any of the oil, but also I didn't wash, I didn't take a rechitza those days. That was one makar, the rechitza ikri inu. V'yiboy yisei menocha makar, rechitza ikri inu min olam, how do I know mihoch and dutzim is in the pasuk? Oliv yasar ha-koyin ha-esher ha-melech an-nosais ne-leich al-sadecha ki ish moves ata. V'yayim hazeh loy amisecha ki nososa esarein Hashem lefnei David ovi. V'chi his anisa v'choyla sher his ane ovi. What does it say? This is Shlomo HaMelech speaking. This is a pasuk in Malachim. And Shlomo HaMelech is saying to Avyasar HaKoyin, I'm very angry at you, Avyasar, because you were supporting Adoniah. As you remember, in the beginning of Malachim, it says that Basheva and Nosan Hanovi came to David HaMelech, who was already old and frail, and they told him, did you hear? Adoniah, who's one of your sons from another wife, wants to go and take over the Malucha. But you promised the Malucha to Shlomo HaMelech. And David HaMelech got very upset, etc., etc. Now, the Pasuk tells us, El Avyasar HaKoyin was on the side with Adoniah. That was, at that time, with Adoniah against Shlomo HaMelech. So as far as Shlomo HaMelech is concerned, he's a Moir B'Malchus, because Shlomo HaMelech had been promised the Malucha. But Avyasar, in an earlier age, in other words, years before, he had been very close to David HaMelech, and he had helped out David HaMelech. And so therefore, Shlomo HaMelech says, you know what, I'm going to spare your life for the time being because of what you did for my father. So the pasuk again, Avyasar HaKoyin Asher HaMelech, Avyasar HaKoyin, about Avyasar HaKoyin, Omer HaMelech, the Melech said, Anosois Leich Al Sedecha, go to the place Anosois, to your field, because you deserve to die. But today I'm not going to go and kill you. You were one of the carriers of the Arayin. In fact, he was the Kohen Gadol at one point wearing the Urim V'Tumim. If you remember, we had a couple of days ago in the Gemara that initially they asked the Urim V'Tumim by Avyasar, and it didn't work because Avyasar had lost his Ruach HaKodesh, and then after that his successor was Tzadik, the Kohen Gadol. But anyway, the bottom line is, our Gemara told us that initially Avyasar was together with my father David Ovi, and you participated in the fast of my father. And therefore, since you joined him in that inoy, I'm not going to kill you. What does it say about David HaMelech? Ki amru am ro'ev v'oyev v'tzoma b'midbar. That David HaMelech was ro'ev, hungry, oyev, he was weary, tired out, v'tzoma, and he was thirsty. Okay, so says Imar. Ro'ev means melech, and he had nothing to eat. V'tzoma means mayim. And he was thirsty from water. Oyef mimai. What does oyef mean? What do you mean? Tired and worn out. La merachita. Doesn't it mean that he was totally, if you will, filthy from the fact of the matter that he didn't have a chance to take a shower or a bath for the previous period? And therefore, what did the Gemara call that? The Gemara, what did the pasuk call that? The previous pasuk that we quoted called that the chiasanis b'chol asher hisana avi. So we see that the Ovi, David HaMelech's Inui included Achila and Shtia, Ro'ov and Tzomei, as well as Oyev, and that presumably means Rechitza. So I have a Raya, the Rechitza is an Inui. Freddy Mar, who says that only at Nina Sassandl. Maybe when it says that he was Oyev, maybe it means that his fear, his feet were very worn out because he wasn't wearing shoes. And as a result, that's what caused him to be so weary. Not from the fact that he didn't have a shower, but from the fact that he didn't wear shoes. So you have no raya that rechitza is an inui. El Rav Yitzchak Miyoch, I have another pasuk, a famous pasuk, a pasuk in Mishlei. Mayim karim al nefesh ayefa, like pouring cold water on a very, very oyef, a worn out soul. Okay, so if you're pouring water on a worn out soul, why are you pouring the water? Because the person never hasn't had a shower in many, many days. And now this nefesh ayef we're pouring on the water. It's a chasimah that oyef means a lack of rechitza. Frank Mahu says, the Dilma Mishtiya. Maybe mayim karmel nefesh ayef means a person never hasn't drunk any water for the last 24 hours. He's very thirsty. And now he takes a drink, a cold drink on this poor, worn out soul. So maybe we're not talking about rechitza, we're talking about shtiya. Says Himar Miksiv b'nefesh ayefa, al nefesh ayefa ksiv. If we would say mayim karm b'nefesh ayefa, that would mean that cold waters are entering into the nefesh ayefa through the mouth and proceeding downwards. But that's not what it says. It's talking about al spritzed over, sprinkled over, poured over nefesh ayefa, which means a form of rechitza. So I see oyef means the absence of rechitza, which is called inoy. Shai, Baruch Hashem, now I have two mekoyrois that rechitza ikri inoy, both the one from yesterday, soch loy sachti, and number two from today, that it says oyef, and it's referring to the nefesh ayef, the mayim karam nefesh ayef, which was an inoy in terms of David HaMelech. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Nilas Asadl Minolan. How do I Nilas Asadl is called an Inui Anyam Kippur Dichsim Sen the Pasuk with David Oyle B'mal HaZeisim Oyle U'boiche V'roish Loi Chofoi. And what's the Ches over here? V'hu Hoylech Yochev. He's going around barefoot. The word Yochev means barefoot. Ah, Yochev Yomai Lam Nilas Asadl. And we said before that he was, unfortunately, he had all these Inuyim, so that is the harai that inui includes going barefoot without sandals, without shoes. What's the harai? Maybe what it means is that David HaMelech was forced to go and walk. He wasn't able to take a ride on a horse, and therefore, susi of course means the horse. Martika means the horse whip that you use to whip the horse into action to go and to prod the horse to walk. So maybe that's what it's talking about. That David HaMelech says, Nebuch, I am so worn out, Yochev, I'm wearing beautiful shoes, but I have to walk, I'm not able to go and ride on the horse. Is it because you don't have a raya of Ne'ilas HaSandol? I have another pasuk, and this pasuk is a pasuk in Yeshaya. And it says about Yeshaya Navi, Leich ufitachto hasak, Leich ufitachto hasak, Mi'al masnecha, Benalcha tachloitz mi'al raglecha, V'yaskein holoich oroin v'yochev. That he was told, he was instructed, Dibra Hashem Yad Yishio, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Yishaya Novi, Lechu Fitach Tehasak Mi'al Masnecha, go and take off the sack. V'nal Chatach Lishma Reglech, and take off your Nalayim, take off your shoes. V'yaskein, and therefore Yishaya listened that Holech, he was walking Oroim, Oroim Hoshep Shat means he was walking without any clothing. V'yochef, and he's wearing, going barefoot. So I see that this is a terrible thing. Kadosh Baruch Hu is causing Yishaya Navi to have this inui about going yochef, is going barefoot. Zokti Mara, yochef mimai lamin ilas asandl. So now, the Gemara could have answered the same as before. That means that don't ride on a horse, but rather walk. However, Rashi says that that type of shot is appropriate for David HaMelech, who is a king. And a king, of course, has his royal steeds, his horses, as opposed to Yeshaya that wasn't on that level of wealth. If you look at Rashi on the right-hand margin, Vayas Kain, it's six lines from the bottom. He wasn't used to going always on a royal chariot and horses. And what the Gemara is trying to do is, here in the Pasuk in Yishai, it doesn't mention the word inui at all. And we're trying to prove that the word inui includes ne'ilas asandl. So Dr. Rashi, you know how we're going to prove it? Because just like by Yishai, it says the word yochef. And what does it mean? He wasn't wearing shoes. So David HaMelech too, when it says yochef, it means he wasn't wearing shoes. And if David wasn't wearing shoes, don't tell me it's talking about he wasn't with a horse. When like yochef, yochef, not mamish gzeira shavah, but a giloi, just like yochef by Yishaya means without shoes, by David also means without shoes. And we called it before an inoi. So to manishkarai, naim min alayim hantuloi. Maybe it doesn't mean that he's missing shoes altogether. Maybe he's wearing patched shoes. In other words, shoes that had ripped and they had patches on them. If he's not going to learn like that, when it says in the pasuk that he was walking oroim v'yochef, oroim mamish, do you really think that Yishaya Navi was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu he should walk around without any clothes? Come on. That means we've begun beluyim. Don't wear your normal dress, but rather go and put on worn out clothing. So that's the same thing over here. It means worn out, patched shoes, patches on top and on the bottom. It looks terrible. But that's what it refers to. So therefore you have no raya that yochef means totally without shoes. Maybe it means to go and wear second-hand, third-hand, old shoes. Elam machma yitzot mihochem, another pasuk. Mini raglech miyochef ugroincha mitzima. This is a pasuk, I believe, in Yirmiyah. Yeah, down below. Mini raglech miyochef. And groinech mitzima. Toimri, etc., etc. So, Dajash Dimar. Mini atzbech menachet. Go and refrain from sinning. Kadesh leyov yiraglech liyadei yichof. So that your feet should not come liyadei yichof. Meaning that they shouldn't be without shoes. And mini rishonech midvorim b'teilim, and make sure your tongue doesn't talk just nonsense. Kadesh leyavi groinech lidei tzima, so that your throat won't come lidei tzima toward thirst. Ah, so since we see now that the word yochef by Yirmiyah is referring to without shoes, therefore the Gemara says the same thing applies to David HaMelech when it says yochef, it means without shoes. Okay, and by David HaMelech it says the lashon of misame of inoy, so we see a raya that nidas sandal means nidas sandal is one of the five inuyim. And finally, we get to Tasha Shemitzu, which is the final one of the five inuyim. Dikri inoy minolan. How do I know? The Sibbet says in the pasuk, Lavan says to Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov had taken Leah and Rachel, Rachel and Leah as his wives, as well as the two pilagshim that he had, Bilhah and Zilpah, and he. Now, Lovin gives the following command to Yaakov. Imtanes benoisa, if you cause any inui, any suffering to my daughters, imtikach noshim al benoisa, and if you go and take additional women, but it says, then ein ishitanu or something. What is it? Ein ishimanu, ve'ei lekim, ei beni v'necha. In other words, we're going to have shalom between us only if you're not going to, in any way, shape, or form, cause pain to my daughters. Don't be ma'an in them, and don't take additional women. And therefore, remember, Kodesh Baruch Hu is Eid B'ni V'necha, he is the Eid, he is the witness. On to the top of the Amud Beis. So what is this Lashon, Im Ta'ana Es B'noisai? What type of torture do we mean? Mi Tashmish, Meaning, says Rashi, lahashbis oynosan, that those appointed times when a man is supposed to live with his wife, if you do not live with them, if you're on moneya, if you refrain from living with them, that's the inui. Oh, so we see that one of the inuyim yom kippur, the lashon of inui in ta'ana, the ta'anu is nafshi seichem, the inisim is nafshi seichem, includes refraining from living with one's wife. Now it says in the pasuk, not only in ta'anus benoisa, v'im tikach noshim al benoisa. What means v'im tikach? Mitzorais. If you're going to add additional women, you're going to add additional tzorais. Tzorais over here doesn't just mean you're going to cause more tzuris, as we say in Yiddish, but tzorais over here is referring to the tzorah that we have in the mitzvah of yibum, that if a person has a tzorah, tzorah means a co-wife, co-wives. So don't take additional wives over and above the two wives that you have. Maybe the pshat in the pasuk im ta'anes benoisai, the imtikach noshim al benoisai, is really one thought. And the imtikach is explaining, what do I mean im ta'anes benoisai, that don't go and cause torture and suffering to my daughters, by taking additional women. That's the pshat. Nothing to do with Tasha Shemitah. Im ta'anes benoisai, if you're going to cause them tzar, how are you going to cause them tzar? Im tikach noshim, you're going to go and take more women. And therefore you have no raya. The Tasha Shemitah is one of the inuyim. Says Imar, your pshat would be great. It says, if it would say, im tikach, miksiv im tikach, it says, the im tikach ksiv. Ah, so these are two separate thoughts. Thought number one is, im ta'anis benoisai. Thought number two is, the im tikach noshim. If it would say im tikach, you're right. We could have explained that the inoy means taking additional women. As a result of the vav, comes to say these are two separate thoughts. Number one, don't refrain from having tashmish in the appointed onos, the appointed times that you're supposed to with your wife. And don't take additional wives, because they'll be tzareis, co-wives to your present wives. Maybe the pshat is, again, not that ta'ana is referring to tashmish, but rather it's referring to tzoris didei. Now, what means tzoris didei? So Rashi says tzoris didei means that, as we said before, in addition to Rachel and Leah, Yaakovin was also married to Bilhah v'Zilpah. However, Bilhah v'Zilpah were considered to be, if you will, second-level wives, almost like Pilagshim, and therefore he's saying is, in ta'ana is benoisai, don't upgrade the marriage status of Bilhah and Zilpah so that they should be on the same level as Rachel and Leah. And also don't take additional women from outside. So therefore both parts of the pasuk. And ta'anis benoisai means don't go and cause torture by adding two more official women by upgrading Bilhah and Zilpah. Then tikach noshim benoisai means go and take fremde, strange women from Asel and Me'alma. Maybe that's a pshat. So it's more dumi d'imtikach. In other words, that the imtanes benoisa is just like imtikach means take extra additional women, the imtikach noshim al benoisai. Maybe imta'ana also means taking additional women, not from the fremd, from outside, but from inside, by upgrading bil and zilpa. So Timur miksiv imtikach, the imta'ana, imta'ana v'imtikach ksiv. What does the Timur mean to say? What the Timur is saying is that whenever you go and admonish some person, you give a person a warning, you first give a warning about the big stuff, and then say, and even also the small stuff. In other words, you say, make sure not to do this big thing, and also, even secondary little things, don't do. But it's not the derech to go and say, don't do the small things, and by the way, not only the small things shouldn't you do, but don't do the big stuff too. I mean, that's not the way people speak. And therefore, here in the pasuk, it doesn't sound right to go and say, don't upgrade Bilhah and Zilpah, and also don't take other women. Taking other women, l'chayr, is a much greater avla, if you will, vis-a-vis Rachel and Leah, than upgrading the present Bilhah and Zilpah. So says Yimar, miksiv imtikach v'mtana. If we'd say imtikach, don't take additional women. And also don't be ma'ana the your present women by going and upgrading Bilhah and Zilpah. That would make sense. But ta'ana imtikach ksiv. And therefore, in that way, it doesn't make sense to go and say, by upgrading Bilhah and Zilpah, and also don't taking other women, that's, Rashi says, that would be Mikal el Chomer, instead of the Chomer el Kal, that doesn't read correctly. Omri Rapapa Le'abaye, Hotashmish Gufa Ikri Inui. So, The Gemara at this point feels that we have now a source that refraining from living with one's wife, that is an inui. Im ta'anes b'noisa, don't refrain from living with her. Rapapa says, you know what? It's just the opposite. Living together with a woman could be deemed an inui. Tachsiv, like it says, v'yishkav oisa v'ye'aneha. This is talking about in the case of Shechem ben Hamor, that he went and took Dina, v'yishkav oisa, and he lived with her, v'ye'aneha. And that was the inui. The living with Dina, that itself was the inui. So maybe the inui that we're supposed to do on Yom Kippur is to live with our wives instead of to refrain from living with them. Amalei hasim she'ina mebiyos acheres. Now, what is the bia? What does this mean? Ina mebiyos acheres. So Rashi says that after Shechem lives with Dina the first time, Dina, if you will, was seduced by Shechem, and therefore she wanted to continue living with him. And when it came the time that Shechem should now have lived with her, in other words, in her onos, and oina means the time that normally a man sets aside for his wife to go and live with her, at the minimum Friday nights is the oinus talmid chachamim, etc., etc. So there were other opportunities, and he refused to go and live with her at that time. And so therefore, that's what we're referring to. Vayishke voisa, the first time he lived with her, presumably against her will. And after that, when she already was seduced and was interested in continuing to live with her, Vayanea, then he refused. Oh, so you see that the abstaining from Tashmish, that is the inui. And with this, Rabbi Yisrael, we've concluded the full list of the five inuyim and the Makayres. And now we continue on into some of the details of the five inuyim. Mr. Rabban, when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's not only you can't take a shower, you're not allowed to even go wash part of your body. If, however, your body is dirty, that's a different story. If you have tit is some sort of like a cement or plaster or whatever, or someone had to go to the bathroom and his hands or body has soy on it, then you're allowed to go and wash, because the only type of Isser Rechitza that we're talking about is a type of Rechitza that gives you oneg, ta'anug, gives you enjoyment. But if the person's hands or body are dirty, then you got to remove the dirt. Just like you now go and smear your body with, let's say, your body oil, it's not just the entire body, but even part of the body. However, if he was sickly and he needed that sicha, he had all different types of problems with his scalp, with his head, where it's it must be a dangerous situation. So again, he can go and smear on. He doesn't have to worry. If you have a woman that has a young baby and the baby needs to eat and she needs to take bread out of the bread bin and hand it over to her child to eat, she should wash that hand and she shouldn't even think about it. That's very, very necessary. And as the Gemara is going to tell us in another line or two, if a person wakes up in the morning without washing his or her hands, there's a ruach ra'ah, which is shoireh, and chas v'sholem, that ruach ra'ah could cause a lot of damage. And that's why our minhag is that we do negel vaser in the morning, even if we don't do the whole hand, but we do negel vaser, and that's the only because of this shivso. Shivso is the name of a shindalid, one of the evil demons, and therefore, because of that ruach ra'ah, we want to expel it by washing the hand. So therefore, says Rav Shim Gamliel, a woman is allowed to go and wash her hand and give the pasta tinnik. Don't worry. Omru Ola Balshami Azokin Shlei Rotz Lahachil Biyodei Achas. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to wash his hand, and he wanted to hand over the bread to the child without washing the hand. The Gazru Olav, and they were Goyzer on Shabbi Yizak, Lahach B'shtei Yadayim. Not only give it with one hand, give it with two hands and wash both hands. My time, Rabbi Mishim Shifsa, because of this Ruach Ra, this Shindala, this evil demon, which is called Shifsa, which Chas V'Sholem can be very, very damaging. Tanaban, Ahoy L'chahak M'Pnei Oviv, Ay P'nei Rabbi, Ay P'nei Mishigodol Mimenu. Person who is going to Lahak B'Pnei Oviv to go M'Kab upon him of his father, Ay P'nei Rabbi, his Rebbe, Ay P'nei Mishigodol Mimenu, Oy V'Al, Tzavori B'Mayim, Ve'ne Choshish. Since the din of Rechitza is all pure, because you're having oneg, you're having delightment, you're enjoying the washing. If you're doing the washing for any other reason, it's mutter. And that's why you're allowed to wash your hands in the morning. You don't want this ruach ra of the shifsa. So too, if a person wants to be mekabel pnei aviv, a rabbi, or it's a great person on Yontif, and that person doesn't live locally, to get to him, you have to go and cross through the river, and you have to, and we're talking about within the tchum, you don't have a tchum problem, but the problem is that there is no bridge, or the bridge is broken, or whatever, so he's allowed to go in the water, even if it goes till his tzavar, until his neck, but my many choshi doesn't have to worry, it's not considered to be an isser of rechitza. Iboilu, what about a rabbi till Talmud mai? What happens if the rabbi wants to go to the Talmud? Is this permissible? Toshma de Rav Yitzchak bar Bar Chana, ano chazite l'ze'iri. I personally witnessed that Ze'iri also legabi Rav Chia bar Ashi Talmidei. Ze'iri went to his Talmud of Chia bar Ashi, and he did that even going into the water. So you see, you're allowed to do that. Rav Ashi Amar, no, the quote that you just quoted is not accurate. Ahu, that story was just the opposite. Rav Chia bar Ashi, who the Ozla Gabei, the Ze'iri Rabbi. It wasn't that the Rebbe was going to his Talmud and going into the water, but it was just the opposite. It was the Talmud going to the Rabbi through the water. So you have no raya. Says Yimar, Rabbi Shorla b'nei Eivri Yemina, Rabbi permitted the people who lived in the town of Eivri Yemina, Lemeber b'maya, to go and pass through the water, Lenturi Pere, if they were concerned about their peiros. In other words, these b'nei Eivri Yemina had orchards on the other side of the water, and they were afraid on Yom Kippur, who knows, maybe gangsters were stealing all the peiros, and maybe chayas were eating up all the peiros. So he permitted them to go and go walk through the water, and to repay it to go and watch over the peiros on Yom Kippur. Amli Abaya, the Rava. Abaya says to Rava, Rava, that was a perfect psak that you gave. Because Tanim Sayloch, I found the price exactly like you just said. Shermi peiros. Those people that are watching their peiros, or even out of my mind, they're allowed to go all the way neck high in water. They don't have to worry, even on Yom Kippur. Rav Yosef Sharlahu Lebnei Beit Harbo. Rav Yosef permitted the people that lived in the town of Beit Harbo, Lemeber B'mai, to go through the water, Lemeisa Lepirka, to go and listen to the Perek. Meaning that on Yom Kippur, during the Hafsaka between, I know, Shachris and Musaf, Musaf and Mincha, the Rav was giving a drasha. So Rav Yosef permitted the people to go through the water to listen to that pirka, to that drasha. However, the mazel to return through the water, he said, no, that you got to stop over here, and mitzvah nochyant if you go home, but don't go through the water again. You can go through the water to hear the drasha, but not to leave the drasha. Omli Abayis, Abayis then now to Rav Yosef, in Kenat to Machshin Lasul Lovei. Guess what? None of them are going to come next year. If you allow them to go back in the water, then they'll come. But if you're not going to let them go back, they're not going to come. So Ikir Yamid, there was another version of the story that Rav Yosef initially Sharlu Lemeisei v'Sharlu Lemeisel. He allowed them to come and he allowed them to return home. And Lomli Abayit Vishlam Lemeisei L'chay, to allow them to come to the Shir, I understand. And Lemeisel Maitaima, what's the reason you permit them to return home in the water on Yom Kippur? And for the Mordechai Shleitei Machshin Lasal Lavoi, so we shouldn't have a Michshol Lasal Lavoi. That next year they should keep on coming. So according to the first version of the story of Yosef, did not allow them to return. It was Abaya that pointed out that that's not a good Eitzah. They're not going to come next year. The second version is that Rav Yosef, in fact, allowed them both to come and to return, and it was Abaya that said, why are you allowing them to return? It's like Yom Kippur. How can they go through the water? And he ends up doing that, so I shouldn't be machshalem l'asalavai that they should come next year as well. New story. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon bar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry?
I think that's why they allow the Kuach Nefesh for certain doctors to not only go to the hospital, but also return.
You're absolutely right. And that's the heter for Hatzalah as well, that they allow Hatzalah to return to from the hospital and go back driving on their ambulances and returning their cars to their places. Because if you're going to tell them that in Shabbos you're not allowed to do that and they can't return, then they can't go on the next call. So to allow them to go on the next call, we allow them to return from the first call. The Moshe Zatzal was very, very makel in all of these aspects, and he felt they're not going to go if you're not going to allow them to return. There were other Gdolim, Shlomo Zalman, for instance, Shlomo Zalman Obach was more machmir, and he felt to allow them to be pikuach nefesh, to go, that's fine, but to return, he felt that is already too much of a kula. Shlomo Zalman Obach, in his great humility, wrote a letter to Ramosha. He called him on the phone. He said, Ramosha, I respectfully disagree with you about the return. Do you mind if I publish my psak, even though it's against your psak? And Ramosha says, Chas v'sholem, if that's how you hold l'halacha, avad, you should go and print your psak. And it's printed in the sefer, I think his sefer is called, I think, Halichai Shloimoy, if I'm not mistaken, where Reb Shlomo Zalman's psukim are printed, and he was opposed to it. And in fact, in certain communities, like in Wilhelmsburg, and other, perhaps even in Buru Park, they have a goy who's on the payroll of Hatzalah, and he drives back all the ambulances and all the cars from the scene of after Hatzalah call. So to be able to comply with that greater chumrah of Reb Shlomo Zalman. But anyway, most other branches of Hatzalah rely on Reb Moshe's heter, and the people drive back freely because of this concern. Shlalach shilam l'asad l'avay. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Brother Shai. And we go on to the next shtickle. Zokim or right. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, bar Rav Yehuda. We have Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda. Maybe that was his son, maybe not. But the two of them have a kaimi aguda de nahar, either nahar papa or another nahar. Let's see, hey over here. Pros, that they were standing either on the Papa River or on the Euphrates River, a mebra de Chatzdad, on the place where there was a bridge of Chatzdad. In other words, the port was called Chatzdad, and that's where they were standing there on the side of the river. Vavikoy Rami bar Papa bahach kisa, and Rami bar Papa was on the other side. Ramlu kol, and he screamed and he shouted, Ma'u lemebe lemeise legabaychu lemishl shmaitza. I want to ask you some shailas on the Gemara. Can I go and travel through, go through the water to get to you to the other side? So Amalei Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda answered, Rav Shmuel the Amar Tavayu, Oiver, you're allowed to go through, Ubuvad Shalo Yoytzi Yodem Mitachas Chifes Chalukai. When you are walking through the water, make sure you don't pick up the hem of your clothing. In other words, the men in those days didn't wear pants like we do, but rather wore something similar to a dress. You have that in some of the Arab countries, Middle Eastern countries, that wear these long togas. And he said to him, it's difficult to walk with the toga through the water, so the natural inclination would be to pick up the hem under the water to be able to walk more freely. Don't pick it up. The reason why you shouldn't pick it up, says Rashi, is because it's doime, it looks like you're carrying. It's about a not mamish carrying, because you're wearing the choluk, but just by picking it up, there's at least the marasign, the appearance, as if you're carrying it. Ikriyami, there was another version, not that Rav Yehuda answered, but only Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda. Remember, the two of them were standing together. So Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda answered, Tanina, we learned, Oiver, yes, you can come over. So this is not Rav and Shmuel de Amri Tavai, but Tanina, we learned in Abraisa, Oiver, you can come over. So the two stories are the same, the two versions, except that the first version is Rav Yehuda said it, second version Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said it, and the first version was that Rav and Shmuel said, Oiver, but worry about carrying, and it was Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said, it's Tanina, it's a Braisa. Are you allowed to go even during the week through such water which is neck high? The Gemara said, "Al tzavoroi." Voksim have in the pasuk. And now the Gemara is going to go back into a further esoteric discussion from Yecheskel. And this discussion we already touched on in Masechta Shkolim. And that is in Masechta Shkolim we learned that there was a shaar, a gateway into the Beis HaMikdash, which was called Shaar HaMayim. And the Gemara asked, how did it get the name Shaar HaMayim? The Gemara had two pshatim. One pshat was, that's the place that they took out the Nisach HaMayim for pouring during Sukkot's days. But the other pshat in the pasuk was that there is a trickle that leaves from the Kodesh Kedoshim, goes through the Heichal, goes through the Azara, leaves the Beis HaMikdash, and that trickle of water keeps on getting larger and larger and greater until it's like a huge ocean, and this will be a similar trickle to Asad Lavai at the times of the third Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, "Voksiv Shein Pasik, Vayomad Elef Ba'ama." They measured out 1,000 amos, Vayavireni B'mayim Emei Afsoyim, and they allowed me to go and walk in that water up to Afsoyim, up to the ankles. Mikan Shemutu Laver Ad Afsoyim. Did you want to go until the ankles? Another pasuk after that, Vayomad Elef. In other words, as the water has left the Beis HaMikdash, then every 1,000 amos it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So the first 1,000 amos, you were able to walk in the water because it only went to the ankles. It was ankle height. V'yomer elef, and you want now another 1,000 amas. V'ever eni b'mayim, mayim birkayim, water that got already to the knees. Because you put the lavar birkayim, so you see you got to walk in the water until your knees. V'yomer elef, and then they measured another 1,000 amas further. V'yaver eni me'masnayim. And now I walked through the water, and it was up to my loins, up to my waist. Mikachim with the laver ad mosnayim. Mikan ve'elach. After that, the yom and elef, they went and measured another 1,000 amas. Nachala sheli uchalavar. It was a large river that it was impossible to pass. So what do I see from this? That if you're going through the water, you should go maximum until mosnayim, until your waist, but not until the neck. We only had a problem with going to the neck on. And if it's Yom Kippur, it's on Shabbos, it'll look like carrying, but during the week it's not an issue. Why is it not an issue? Even during the week you shouldn't be going through the water if it goes up to your neck. The Nachal that we're talking about that's leaving the Beis Hamikdash was not just nice, still pond or lake water. This was heavy-duty rapids. And therefore, normally, if you're talking about a very still, stable body of water, then you can walk until your neck. However, if you're talking about going through rapids, oh, then you can go maximum until your loins. Or perhaps until that 1,000 amas. Prior to that, it wasn't rapids. The rapids only started in the final 1,000 amas about what we're talking about. And in fact, the Gemara says, Yochli Avirena Besichoy, I might think that you should be able to go and, okay, you can't walk. You cannot walk. But maybe you can go and swim in that nachal. Tamaloyme, the pasuk continues on, kigo hamayim meishochu, that these waters got so high and they were so mighty that it was beyond meishochu. So meishochu, meishochu. What's the pasuk here in Yecheskel? Dalit? Meishochu. Yeah, with a sip. Good, thank you. Thank you, Brother Shai. Kigo hamayim meishochu. Mayim meishochu, what does that mean? Shiyuta. Shiyuta means swimming. Shikin korin l'shaita siyocha. Swimming is called siyocha. That's the meishochu. I would think that you'd be able to pass over this additional nachal that is emanating from the base of Migdash on a Buni Ktana, on a small boat, like a rowboat. No, you can't even go in a rowboat. Maybe I can go at least with a large ship. Even with a tziader, a Titanic, don't pass over it. We just had that yesterday in the Chumash, the Tzim, right? The Tzim Miad Kitan. Remember Rashi explained that Tzim means a huge ship. Here too, Tziad is a huge ship. And even as the soil they have today, or they used to have, a shipping company called the Mzim, which really was Tzim shipping. Anyway, so to Yomara, my mashma, where do we see that we're prohibiting even going on a Buni Ktana and a Buni Gdoila, a small boat, and a large ship? Can the Targum of Yosef, like Rav Yosef said, in Targum Lashon Litozel Bay Besvinas Tziyodin, don't go on a small boat that's used by fishermen, you know, like a rowboat type of thing. Or Boni Rabasi Leituguzan, and also when it said in the Pasik, Bal Tevach Boyan Yishayit, the Tziyadir Leyavrenovus, I said Tziyadir, means a Boni Rabasi, even a very large ship, also to Guzan, should not go and cut through the waters of this Nachal. Omer Yudah ben Pazi, even the Malachamavis had no right to go and cross in that part called the Nachal with this rapids. Ksiv Hoch, it says here, Bal Tevach Boy Anishayit. Ksiv Hosem Mishoit Barit. Mishoit Barit is referring to when the Malachamavis was flying around the world to go and capture and catch victims. So, Mishoit Barit, Anishayit, even the Malachamavis has no right to go and travel there in this Nachal. Okay, so now, until now we were talking about the water as it left the Beis Hamikdash, that it kept on getting deeper and deeper. Here we're now starting from the very, very, very beginning, that this Mayan leaves the Beis Kodesh Kedushim, it's so small, it looks like the antenna on the head of grasshoppers. As we know, grasshoppers happen to be very small. Their antenna are infinitely that much smaller. As the water is trickling out from towards the door of the heichal, naske chut shel shasi, it becomes like the chut, like on the weaving loom. We know you have the shasi v'erev, so the shasi are the vertical, and the orev are the horizontal, and the shasi are a little bit thinner. Ulam naske chut shel orev, as it leaves from the heichal into the ulam, then it now grows even more. So now it's as thick as not the woof, but as the warp. You have the warp and the woof, which are the vertical and the horizontal. It is no longer like the vertical strings, which are strands, which are somewhat thinner, but it's much thicker, like the chutzal arif. Kim shegiel pesach hazara, as it's now further trickling out of the base of Mikdash, it gets pesach hazara, nasa kipi pach cotton. It becomes like the opening of a bottle. What means my mefachin? Says the top Rashi, mefachin means kimin hapach, that it's as large as the opening to a jug, to a pitcher, to a bottle. Those are waters are going to leave the threshold of the Beis Hamikdash. As it leaves, now it's going to get really big time, big waters like we had initially until the ankles and then until the knees, until the waist, and then impossible even to swim and even Titanic. Until it gets to the home of Beis David in Yerushalayim. Rashi says on the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, he Tzion Chutz LiYerushalayim. This is now already in Tzion. Of course, we think of Tzion being the entire Yerushalayim. Kimi Tzion Teitz Yisoyl V'Var Hashem Yerushalayim. But there is a, if you will, a suburb of Yerushalayim which is called Tzion. It's probably similar Lahavdil to New York, New York. If New York is part of New York, so Tzion is part of Tzion. The larger area is called Tzion, and then there's a kind of a suburb Chutz Yerushalayim, also called Tzion, Petzel Beis David. It becomes like a strong stream, strong river. Apparently, this is not the point where they have the tzi adir lo yavrenu, because here we're talking about that people can go and toivel in these waters. For mechatos and for nida, meaning that both for mechatos and nida, you need mayim chayim. It has to be flowing waters, not just rain water, and therefore they'll be able to toivel, and you'll have this water there. Amar Rav Yosef Mikan Rebbe Zalmida Shetzricha Leishiv Ad Tavor B'Mayim. From this Gemara, we see that there is an inyan, a remez, and a nida. When she's toiveling, she should have water that goes all the way up to her neck, and of course, and then after that, she has to put her head underneath the water. But the water shouldn't go until the waist, or any other part of the body, should go all the way up until the tzavar, because that's what we're speaking about walking in the tzavar, as we had in the previous command, the Amud Beis. That's what Rav Yosef says is a remez. However, Lesach is not like that, and as we know, it's a very rare situation if you go to the mikveh that the water should be up to your neck. It's typically up to your waist or another part of the body, and therefore this is not required after all. So Rav Yosef, at this point, we're going to conclude, and Mietzhem continue on tomorrow, and I'd like to wish all of you a leicht tonus, and as they say on the west side, not only an easy fast, but a meaningful fast, and therefore we should be zoich the next year, we shouldn't have to fast, we should be the simcha at the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash.
I think most mikvos are